All right, I have the unique privilege right now of introducing a good friend, a champion in the conservative movement, the founding chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, and a championship wrestler. And he said, if you don't believe him, meet him out back after the speech. I first met Congressman Jim Jordan shortly after he was elected in 2006 when he landed in Washington, D.C. And quickly, we struck up a relationship because he is a principled conservative Christian leader who came to Washington, D.C. for the right reasons to do the right thing. And he and his wife, Polly, have become good friends of ours. And we are just so excited to have him here tonight. Let me give you a little bit of his background. He represents the 4th Congressional District of the Buckeye State of Ohio. All right, let's hear it for all those Buckeyes, huh? All right. As a little bit of trivia, you know, but I'm actually a native of Ohio, so I'm partial to the Buckeye State. He currently sits on the House Judiciary Committee and the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. And if you didn't know that, you don't watch TV because he has grilled some people. Rightfully so. In the 114th Congress, as I mentioned, Jim helped found the House Freedom Caucus. I remember one of the first meetings was in my conference room as they were looking for a way forward for a conservative caucus to be formed in the Congress. And let me tell you what, they have made their mark on Congress without question. As one of the most conservative members of Congress, his efforts have earned him recognition from Citizens Against Government Waste, Family Research Council, Americans for Tax Reform, Friends of the Taxpayer Award, and the 2012 Weyrich Award for National Legislator of the Year. Jim holds a bachelor's degree in economics from the University of Wisconsin, a master's degree in education from Ohio State University, and a law degree from Capital University. Please help me welcome the conservative champion, Jim Jordan.
Thank you. Thank you, that's very kind. Sit down. I always tell folks, don't stand up. I haven't said anything. It's good to Tony. Thank you. It's good to be with you. I'm going to cut right to the chase. The left in this country today is going crazy. There is just no other way to say it. Think about this. We did this tweet the other day. They applaud Kaepernick. They destroy Kavanaugh. It's scary, isn't it? You could sum up the left today, the American left today, and the positions the Democrat Party has taken as the most extreme positions in American history. Applaud Kaepernick when he disrespects the flag. Cheer on Cuomo, Governor Cuomo, when he says America was never that great. And embrace Maxine Waters when she says, go harass anyone who supports our president. This is scary where they're taking us. It really is. If they win, they're going to try to raise your taxes. They're going to try to abolish ICE and never secure the border. They are going to continue to socialize medicine, and they will, in fact, impeach the president in spite of this amazing record we've seen in the 20 months he's led this country. So thank you all I do this every time. Thank you all for getting in the fight. We appreciate it. Look, I learned this. I say this probably every single speech. I learned this a long time ago. Good things in life typically don't just happen. You want to accomplish anything of meaning, anything of significance, anything with real and lasting value, it takes work, it takes effort, it takes sacrifice, and probably most importantly, it takes a willingness to get off the sidelines and get in the game and assume the risk associated with getting in the game and trying to accomplish something of real meaning and a real goal. So thank you all for doing that. We appreciate it so much. And thank you for supporting Mr. Perkins and his work and all the work that all your organizations do. We so appreciate that. But this is serious. The left, I said this to a group earlier today with Mark Harris here in town. We're at a fundraiser. You can frame this campaign up, I think, real simple. The left is crazy, right? I mean, really. Kaepernick, Cuomo, and Waters. And then look at the record under President Trump. In 20 months under his leadership, regulations reduce. Taxes cut, economy growing at 4.2%, unemployment at lowest in 20 years, Gorsuch on the court, Kavanaugh going on the court. Out of the Iran deal, embassies in Jerusalem, and the hostages have come home from North Korea. Now, that's amazing. That's an amazing presidency. That's an amazing term. But that's in 20 months. And if the left takes control, if the Democrats take control of the House, the other things that we haven't got done yet, securing the border security wall, replacing Obamacare, reforming our welfare system, requiring work, those things are never going to get done. So this is why this election is so darn important. And again, it's why I just want to thank you for what you're doing, for being involved in the fight and taking the heat that comes with doing that. I say this all the time as well. When you get in the game, you get attacked. If you come at it from a conservative position, if you come at it from a position of defending the principles that I think make our country special in the first place, I tell my buddies and the colleagues in the Freedom Caucus, I said, look, if the press isn't saying something bad about you, you're not doing anything any good. It's just the way it works, and particularly today. I mean, unbelievable. And I love the line. I share this all the time as well. Cal Thomas, you ever read Cal Thomas? He's got a great line. He's talking about normal folks and comparing normal folks and people with common sense and people who believe in the basic principles and values of this nation, comparing and contrasting them to the mainstream national press, you know, the New York Times and the Washington Post. He has a great line. He says, I get up every morning, I read my Bible and the New York Times so I can see what each side's up to. A lot of truth to that. So, again, thank you for all you're doing. I love the movie. Maybe some of you have seen it. And I think it's appropriate that for us to think about this and think about, you know, sort of the history of this great country, the greatest nation ever. How many ever seen the movie 1776, the musical? Any ever seen it? We made our kids all watch it. We homeschooled our kids and, well, use the term we lightly. My wife, Polly, did all the work. But until about sixth grade, and we made them watch this show, and our kids fell in love with it, and it's you know, came out 42 years ago, and bicentennial year. So it's an old movie, but it's the movie of that summer, 1776, when this amazing group of individuals came together and launched this experiment in freedom we call America. And the drafting and putting together the Declaration. And of course, Adams is the driving force behind, he wants to get this thing signed and he wants to get moving with the revolution. And it's amazing that, you know, you think about that document declared to the world why it was appropriate to actually commit treason, why it was actually justified for them to commit treason and rebel against the greatest power in the world at the time. And Adams wants to get moving, and the scene I like the best is they have, Jefferson's drafted the document, and they're now doing what Congresses do. They're marking it up, right? They're gonna change it, amend it, do the things that we, you know, legislatures and Congresses do. So they're going through this, and again, Adams is wanting to move on with this, and the first member stands up and says, we need to change this paragraph, because when King George sees this, it's a little too hard-hitting. We need to tone this down a little bit. Adams rolls his eyes. Pretty soon another member stands up and says, yeah, in this particular section, we need to amend this a little too, because when Parliament sees this, this is just too strong. We need to change that. And Adams rolls his eyes. Third member stands up and says, we need to get rid of this section altogether, because this could jeopardize our deep sea fishing rights off the coast of New England. And Adams can't take it any longer. And he stands up and says, it's a revolution, dang it. We're going to have to offend somebody. And the point is, our job is not to offend, our goal is not to offend, but it is to defend the principles that make us special in the first place, the principles that matter most. And I'm convinced, and that's what you all do. I'm more nervous now than I've ever been. You think about the fundamental principles and all kinds of important concepts, but just the word we most associate with the greatest country in history, the word freedom. And it is now under attack every single day by the left, by the press, by big business, by academia. I mean, you can go through the whole thing. And you all know this. It's why you're involved. But let me just run through a few of the things that we have witnessed lately. The first one I'll start with is one that happened to me. These big social media companies, I mean, I didn't know this stuff. I had never heard the term shadow ban. You guys know what shadow ban is? I didn't know what it was. I'm just, my kids know what. I didn't know what it was until it happened to us. And shadow ban, our staff told us, is when you're on Twitter, the Dropbox on Twitter, if you try to search someone's name, it's tough to find them because they're making it difficult for them to find whoever you want to, whatever Twitter account you want to follow. We found out that there were 4 members of Congress who were being shadow banned. Now think about this. 435 members in the House, 100 in the Senate, 535, 4 get shadow banned. Gates, Meadows, Nunes, and Jordan. Interesting 4, isn't it? Particularly when you think about some of the other issues where the government's been infringing on basic liberties and basic freedoms. 4 members, and of course, Jack Dorsey at Twitter's response was, well, it's just a glitch, just a problem with our algorithm. What? I said, what'd you put in the algorithm? The names Gates, Meadows, Nunes, and Jordan? I mean, this is crazy. These big social media, so this is a threat to freedom. Whether it's Google, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and then you go to the next thing. We had a series that we've been doing this in the Oversight Committee. My good friend from this great state, Mark Meadows. You can cheer for Mark. He's a good guy. You got lots of good guys down here. Ted Budd's a member of our group. Mark Harris, if he can win this race, which I think he's going to. Pastor Harris, another good member. But Mark and I, we chair different subcommittees as part of the Oversight Committee. So we've been doing this series of hearings on the First Amendment. And first one we had was we looked at the issue of pastors being able to preach what they want from the pulpit and not have the IRS harass them for preaching what they think their congregation needs to hear. And that was a good hearing. We had a second one where we brought in Ben Shapiro and Adam Carolla and talked about them getting shouted down and kicked off of campuses and invited then no longer invited and all the crazy stuff that goes on there. It was funny too. If you got nothing better to do, watch Adam Carolla's opening statement. He was hilarious. And Shapiro is always good. So that was fun. But we had this third hearing, and we had some professors, and we were just talking about the crazy stuff. And you all follow this stuff on campuses, right? Safe spaces. You know about this? Safe spaces, free speech zones. They have this thing called bias response teams. You heard this? Yeah, it's crazy. It's like the tattletales on campus, right? You do something that's politically incorrect, they go report you. I thought the whole, we were all young once, right? I thought the goal when you went to college was to do things that were politically incorrect, right? But you get in trouble for it now because these people will go tell and you'll be on your report and you have to do some paper. It's crazy. So I asked this one professor near the end of the hearing. I said, professor, on a college campus, can a safe space and a free speech zone be at the same location? I mean, think about it. Or I said, is it like a Venn diagram where there's a little bit of overlap? So you can have 1 foot in a safe space, 1 foot in a free speech zone, but there's a little space in the middle where both connect. You can be safe and free, right? This is crazy. This is today's left. But the worst was this. The final question I asked was the Democrat's witness. He was a professor from UCLA. Not Capital like my professor I had in law school, Mr. Smith here, but from UCLA. This professor was a liberal, the Democrat's witness, and I asked him this question. I said, Professor, couldn't remember his name. I said, Professor, so-and-so, on a safe space on a college campus, could I say this statement? Donald Trump is president. He said, well, it depends. I'm serious. Dead congressional hearing, that was the response. And so I interrupted him, which I sometimes like to do in these hearings if I think someone's saying something stupid. And I said, it's a fact. He lives at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. On November 8th, 2016, the American people elected him, Electoral College. He's the president of the United States of America. There's no it depends about it. That is where the left wants to take us, and it's scary. It is a scary place. 2 days after Maxine Waters, back in June, 2 days after Maxine Waters does her rant, you harass them at the gas station, you harass them at the rest. Remember this? Remember this rant? 2 days later, Polly and I, first time we've ever went to the theater. I've told Senator DeMint this story. First time we ever went to the theater in town. We're in line, there's all these people, we're walking up this ramp, and I'd never been there. I'm just, we're just country folk. I have my tickets out. I'm looking for the lady in the red jacket, right? Who's gonna tell me, go through that door, go sit. And we're just walking along. All of a sudden, I hear behind me, Jim Jordan. And just the way this, I'm like, oh no. We're getting the treatment. And sure enough, this lady, I didn't even look. I just did the quick glance, kept my head down, because you know they always got the camera, they're always filming you. And she starts ramping it up, Jim, you're evil, shame. And then they just start the whole, you know, hands in the air, shame, shame. And Polly, she handled a lot better than I did. She turned to the lady and says, please stop. And the lady kind of looks at her and goes, I can't believe you're married to this man. I told Polly later, you should have said, I can't believe it either. You believe this guy I'm stuck with? But I mean, think about it. And then they contend. Now I was really looking for the lady in the red jacket. And I got to her and she told us, you know, where to go sit and everything. But we would never do that. We would never do that to the other side. And it is sad. It is sad what we're seeing happen in this country. And the key is, I think we just got to, with a smile on our face, continue to present the truth and do it with a smile. You know, the vice president has a great line. He says, I'm a conservative and I'm not mad about it, right? We got the truth on our side, so we might as well do it with a smile, but let's be persistent, let's be bold, let's do it. And here's why it's also important. The last two examples, and this comes straight from the federal government. Just a few years ago, an agency with the power and the clout that the Internal Revenue Service has, systematically and for a sustained period of time, targeted people just like you. And they targeted you, why? Think about your First Amendment liberties. Right to assemble, right to petition your government, right to a free press, right to practice your faith the way you think the good Lord wants you to. And what's the biggest right we have under the First Amendment? Your right to do what? Speak, right? And when the founders were talking about free speech, what were they really, I think, primarily focused on? Your right to speak in what kind of manner? A political manner, a political fashion. And what did the IRS do? They went after that, the most fundamental liberty we have. And I thought I'd never seen anything that bad. That was the worst thing I'd ever seen until this FBI thing. And this is every bit as bad, and I think actually worse. When you think that the power that the Justice Department has and the FBI has, where they took one party's Oppo research document. Now think about this. The Clinton campaign and the DNC pay Perkins Coie Law Firm, who pays Fusion GPS and Glenn Simpson, who go hire Christopher Steele, who then talks to Russians to put together a document that was not credible, that was false, that was ridiculous. They take that document, get it to the FBI from Christopher Steele, also running it through a top-ranking Justice Department official, Bruce Orr, whose wife worked for Fusion. He gives it to him as well. They take that document, dress it all up, take it to a secret court to get a warrant to go spy on a fellow American citizen. And what was their goal? To spy on the other party's campaign. That happened in the United States of America. And that is as sick and as wrong as anything I've ever seen from the federal government. And the idea that, Sarah's no longer here, but the idea that there's only like a half a dozen reporters in the whole stinking town who want to cover that drives me crazy as well, which shows you how bad the press is, the mainstream press. But this is... This is so bad. Think about this. When have you ever seen a federal agency where this has happened? James Comey, fired. Andy McCabe, lied 3 times under oath, faces a criminal referral, fired. He was deputy director. Jim Baker, former chief of staff, former chief counsel at the FBI, demoted, then left. Lisa Page, FBI counsel, demoted, then left. Peter Strzok, deputy head of counterintelligence, demoted, then fired. These are the top people at the FBI. You ever seen that happen to any other federal agency? And not just any top people, and also the top people who ran the Clinton investigation and then launched and ran the Russian investigation. So this is serious, and that is why Democrats win. You think we'll ever get to the bottom of all this? It's Elijah Cummings chairing oversight, Jerry Nadler chairing judiciary, and Adam Schiff chairing intelligence. There is no way we're going to get the answers. It's hard enough to get them now. It is difficult enough to get them now. The documents, information we need, and get people in for depositions. So that's why it's important you fight, because it comes down to fundamental liberty, fundamental freedom. I love this story of Scott O'Grady. I actually met him. I gave a speech where I talked about this story, because I've been telling it forever. But after I gave the speech, somehow he saw it, and he called me up. And Scott O'Grady, remember the story of Scott O'Grady that he shot down over Bosnia? Right? Amazing guy. Shot down over Bosnia, survived several days, gets rescued, comes to the podium because the press wants to talk to him. Amazing ordeal. Microphones in front of him. And when the press interviewed this guy, it was amazing what he said. Basically said 3 things. He said, first of all, I want to thank God. Miracle that I'm standing here today. Second, he said this, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said something to this effect. He said, I want to thank my family, because it was while I was out there that I thought about them and I knew they were thinking and praying for me. He said, knowing they were doing all that helped motivate me to do what I had to do to make it. He said, I really want to thank my family. And then third, he said, I want to thank the real heroes, my fellow servicemen who risked their lives to come save me. And when I heard that, I said, this guy has figured it out. In three short statements, he summarized what our country's about. When he referenced God, he was getting at this idea of faith and how important it is on a personal level, a relationship with the God of the universe through the work his son did when he came, bled, died, rose again. Critically important. Most important thing in any one individual life. But on the corporate level, faith has always been central to America and faith in the public square. When he got to family, I mean, you think about this. I always say the first institution the good Lord put together wasn't the church, wasn't the state. It was moms and dads and kids. And the strength of that institution ultimately determines, I think, the strength of our culture and our country. And then when he got to his fellow servicemen, he was getting at the thing we've been talking about. He's getting at freedom. Because in this country, the military has always stood for freedom. Not that's unusual. Throughout, yeah, we can clap for those guys. But understand, that's unusual. Throughout most of history, militaries, armies, and navies, they've stood for tyranny and oppression, but not in the United States. Our military has always represented freedom, and not just for Americans, but for countless number of people around the planet. Faith, family, and freedom are the values worth fighting for. Those are the ones worth getting off the sidelines, getting in the game, and taking the arrows that come from the press and everyone else and from the left. Those are the things worth fighting for. And that has always been our charge in this country from 1776 all the way to today. This is a great country. You think about, no other country started like we did. The closest thing we have is the one we came from, Great Britain. But in Great Britain, it was a top-down model, right? God gave power to the king, the queen, the monarch. They gave power over time to the nobles, the landowners, and the shopkeepers. And then finally, the commoners got rights and privilege and liberties. But in America, we said, nope, that ain't the way we're going to do it. We're going to start with who? We the people. We the people loan power to government to protect the rights we didn't get from someone above us in government, the rights we got from the Creator. Amazing model. No one, and that's what's at stake. Because when liberty gets attacked and gets restricted, bad things happen. My background, as Tony mentions, in wrestling. My goal was, when I was little, I knew what I was going to do. Tony's son here. I knew in second grade I was going to play middle linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I knew it was going to happen. I'm from Ohio, but I loved, because I'm old, I grew up in the 70s, I loved the Steelers, Terry Bradshaw, Lynn Swann, Franco Harris, Mean Joe Greenock, I name them all. But my favorite guy was Jack Lambert, who played middle linebacker for the Steelers. That's what I was going to do, but as you can see, I'm 5'7 and a half on a good day, so I had to wrestle. And wrestling's been great to us. Traveled all over the country and been to places around the world. I was in the Soviet Union in 1988, and I tell folks, you go to places like that, you thank the good Lord you live here. I was in Moscow in February. Moscow in February, it's like 400 below zero, man. And the food was terrible. Been to Cuba twice, 88 and 90, and in 1990 in Cuba, they were still driving 59 Chevys. My guess is in 2018 in Cuba, they're still driving 59 Chevys. But it's not the people. It's not the people. It's when a system restricts liberty and you don't have rights, you don't have freedom, and you don't have free enterprise. That is the problem. And that's really what's at stake. It really is. So our charge is to keep fighting. Let me finish with this. I talked about football and wrestling. I'll talk about baseball now, I guess. My favorite statement is by a baseball player. He pitched for the Dodgers, took him to the World Series championship, 1988, Earl Hershiser, nicknamed the Bulldog, read his book after they won the series. And early in his book, he makes this statement, because Hershiser wasn't the best, he didn't have the best fastball, he wasn't the most gifted, he was just tough and figured out a way to win, was a competitor. And he said this, he says, great things can happen to ordinary people who work hard and never give up. Great things can happen to ordinary people who work hard and never give up. My favorite word in the statement, word ordinary. Stop and think about it. We're all just ordinary folk. Nobody's any better than anybody else. We're all in need of God's grace. But in this country, ordinary people don't have to do ordinary things. They can do extraordinary things if they're willing to work hard and never quit. And that attitude is the American attitude. Since the day people got on a boat, because they said in Europe, you got to practice your faith a certain way. And they said, no, we don't. We will do it the way we think the good Lord wants us to. And we're going to risk it all and come to this country where we can have freedom. And those guys in Philadelphia did the same darn thing with the same darn attitude. That is the attitude. That's what we're defending. The ability for ordinary people to set goals and work hard and accomplish extraordinary things for themselves and their families. That happens in this country. But it will not if freedom is limited. It will not. So our charge is simple. Remember what Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:7. Paul's the old guy giving advice to the young guy, and he says this: fight the good fight, finish the course, keep the faith. We probably got some pastors out there who would disagree with me, but I think that is a verse written directly to America. Think about those words: fight, finish, keep. Not sissy words, not timid words, words of action, words of initiative. That's who we are as Americans. And if we remember that verse, those words, and apply them every single day, we will continue to be the greatest nation in history where freedom actually means something. God bless you. Thank you very much.